Welcome, allies, to the Visionary Activist Show, and I'm your weaver of context, Caroline Casey. So, woohoo! It is a wildly fluctuating field, and what qualities do we most want to cultivate? We go, yes, Aikido improv. So my wonderful guest scheduled for this hour just bailed, Sage Lanier, but we wish her well, and we wish her a book deal, too, and some of her ideas we will bring forth. But here we go. So I am preparing tomorrow with Diane Wilson. Diane Wilson, indefatigable activist. She's out collecting pollution, plastic pellets in the bay right now. So Diane Wilson and me, Caroline Casey, we will convene an Eclipse Texas Zoom Council tomorrow. Rapid response assembly. It will be 1 p.m. in Texas. It will be 2 p.m. on the East Coast, and it'll be 11 a.m. Pacific time by donation. Find out more at coyotenetworknews.com. So there we have that. Yes. Okay. We're just recombobulating everything. It is a time of recombobulating. So tomorrow it is two Librans. Diane Wilson, indefatigable, fantastic, effective, climate justice activist, and more. Two Librans, Eclipse Mojo. And what it's from is, I was talking to Diane, going, Eclipse Texas. Is there anything you would like eclipsed in Texas? And she goes, oh, yes, I'm making a list. So for starters, and we go, for all of us, you know, regardless of whether we're going to see it or not, I'm going to Texas, but it looks cloudy. There we go. So feel free to contribute to what we would like eclipsed. The basic frame is, may this fill in the blank be eclipsed by this fill in the blank. I'll give you some of the suggestions I was offering to the almost guest. And it is a fluctuating, quirky, pre-eclipse shadowy field in which we are navigating. So let's work with it. The model is everything real, everything symbolic. So we're in the dark of the moon right now before an eclipse. Dark of moon is traditionally when people gather to determine the course of culture. So we might as well. Let's do that. It's traditionally a time of laying low and convening backstage. And so, okay, we're doing that backstage. But the model is this. For those of you who've been in a total eclipse, and this will be my sixth, although it might be my first cloudy one, we'll see what we can do with weather magic. But the literal event is that as the moon begins to cover up the too bright light of the sun and turn the sun into a crescent, into an image of itself, it gets spooky. The temperature drops, you know, the winds come up, and striation bands of light sweep across the land. And even the most detached of scientists get spooked, like, ooh. And then at the moment of totality, it's like, whoa, oh my God, this is incredible. And you see the stars, you know. The model is we see possibilities after an eclipse, after April 8th, that were not visible before. We're going to play with this theme here. But before an eclipse, and we're in that field now, it gets spooky. It gets spooky out there. And this particular eclipse, if it's not cloudy, where some of us are, what's intriguing is, you know, one, the 2017 eclipse was low solar activity. It was good enough. Powerful, beautiful. This, we're at a moment of high solar activity. So people were saying it is likely at the moment of totality that one will see kind of pink spirally plumes coming off the sun, quite extraordinary. And when the stars come out, what will be visible is Jupiter, Mercury, Venus, Saturn, and Mars. They would not be visible otherwise. They're too close to the sun. They are called in the underworld in their astrological, mythological cycle. They're in the underworld consulting. So at the moment of eclipse, and just imagine that, you know, that that wherever you are, that it's possible to imagine this. We are seeing into the underworld, and we are seeing what we don't normally see. Ooh. So let's bring this into play. The precision is extraordinary. The sun, the moon, and Chiron, Centaur Mentor, will all be at 19 degrees Aries 24 seconds. Exactly. So it's a Chiron eclipse, really. And we go, yes, all the help we can do. Chiron, 2,500 years ago, is the first centaur. He's a, he's not the first centaur. Here, I'm gathering my wits. Maybe we all gather our wits. He's the first mentor, and he's a centaur. He's a centaur mentor. So as Steve Behrman quips, gonna take a centaur mentor journey. Now, all of those beings, the sun and the moon and Chiron, are at 19 Aries, which is a degree of solicitude. Its image is a woman feeding swans in winter. Solicitude. We go, oh, solicitude. And so Chiron, everything to do with the Chiron myth, and some of you know this, but we'll just do it because it's even more potent now, because he is the mentor. And I love Deborah Falmouth living in Syria and Vermont, like you do. I always refer to this wonderful thing that we want to animate. She said, in the West, we think of the future in front of us, and the past in back of us. Who cares? Right? And this is part of, you know, composting, eclipsing too much growth. We'll get to the suggestions. And she said, in the Middle East, it's the reverse. We're gazing at the past in front of us. Just try that. Try reversing our perspectives. We're gazing at the past in front of us. The future's in back of us, invisible. And we are crafting the future by gazing, excuse me, I'm very moved, gazing at the caravan of our past mentors. So for everybody right now, think of, you know, all the mentors. They need not be human. They need not be just human, of course. When I had Bill McKibben on the air and Akaya Windwood and said, you know, who are your mentors? And Akaya said, oh, this redwood tree. And Bill McKibben did a wonderful little dance. He said, I hate the phrase tree hugger because it's dismissive, you know. But in fact, it is a tree. And I talk to it every day. And I thought, you're safe here. You're safe here, Bill, to unfurl all of you and all of us. Remember the Thai saying, because we were never colonized, we never lost our animism, right? Participatory animism as the sine qua non, you know, to go. So we go, all right. So now, you know, the metaphor for all of us, you know, may this be eclipsed by this. And let's play with that. So the Chiron myth. So Chiron is the centaur mentor, and he starts a school for future cultural heroes. Their tasks are impossible, and they always succeed after studying with Chiron. Just keep this in here. Our tasks are impossible, but we always succeed after studying with Chiron. After this eclipse, let's go for that. So in Chiron's mythology, to be underestimated is considered a positive strategic advantage. Because if you're going to do something impossible, might as well make it a surprise. Now, I love this because to any parts of us that take umbrage or high dudgeon or go, those people don't respect me, they didn't treat me well, they don't know who I am. In Chiron's myth, we go, that's excellent. What good fortune. You get into Chiron school. There we go. Just how lucky for you. No, you don't want to go there, right? It's kind of like where we direct our attention. I remember once in D.C., you know, there was a huge protest against the World Bank, and the World Bank had surrounded itself with a giant barbed wire fence. And, so everybody was like, "Boo, fence, boo, boo." And, you know, we train for these moments. We are allied with, maybe we be agents of liberating trickster. And I said, oh, team, because everybody was like, oh. They were worshiping the barbed wire fence. And I go, no, let us thank the World Bank for protecting us from them by erecting this barbed wire fence. And let's turn our back to that and converse about what's really important, which is then what everybody did, right? So we love that. So to be underestimated, it's somebody's banner that said, go ahead, underestimate me. That'll be fun. We go, yeah, okay, that's great. So to be underestimated in order to do something miraculous. And then for our purposes, you know, Chiron is one of the two, at least, mythological figures who founds actual human initiatory theater. So he goes on a journey, and he founds the Asclepions. Oops, just addressing. Mercury's retrograde. It's a challenging time, and there we go. Just fiddling here. I think that's all right. There we go. So he goes on a journey throughout antiquity, and he founds these cultural centers that really existed called Asclepions. And these were places that people went, like now, a place of dream incubation, healing, and theater. And so they would go there, they would drink a cup of rhodiola root tea, just a lovely adaptogen to bring them into focus. This is all happening now, to dedicate Saturn to the desirable dream. So they would dedicate to having a healing dream for themselves and their community, always together, for self and community. They would have a powerful dream, we have records, and then they knew, because it was just common sense at the time, that they would only have the power of their dream once they gave external creative expression to this internal invisible experience, to give external visible expression to internal invisible experience is to glean the power of the dream or the power of the insight. So they would do that, have the power of their dream, and then they would go back to their communities as seed Renaissance people. So that all really happened, right? So everything to do with that myth, you know, and also, you know, Chiron had many, many students, you know, some were famous and well-known, some not. He didn't care. He was truly a democratic trickster guy, you know, but he did teach Asclepius how to be the Greek god of healing, and he did teach Orpheus how to play the lute. And I thank Dale O'Brien always for his guiding in the Chiron realms for these stories. So in antiquity, healing and music, one thing, resonating to our last week's show with Amakela Gaston, and the ancient world peers at the modern world and says, why are you modern people always separating things that belong together? Separating things that belong together. Healing and music are one thing. And so we are here to honor the dance. Part of this is an eclipse symbolism too, you know, of what was one thing becomes separate things, comes back to one thing. So I've been enchanted or beguiled by listening to a Sarah T. Stewart radio interview, and she's done a TED radio hour thing as well. And she's been working for NASA on the origins of the moon. And so so she's, you know, and a grown-up. She's a professor at the Department of Earth and Planetary Sciences at UC Davis, planetary scientist, and it goes on and on like that. She's a grown-up. And so here's the story that she tells. She says, oops, again, Mercury retrograde, easy, everybody. Okay, I think it's working. Can't quite tell. Excuse me one moment. Okay, I think, thank you. We're all in this dream together. So she begins by saying, first there was an object in space. We didn't have a name for it. So we decided to call it Synestia because it would be our future home, named after the goddess Vesta or Hestia. And she said it was an odd-shaped thing, kind of like a bow tie, you know. And then it gets struck, and inside it becomes a sphere. It becomes the future Earth. And in the future Earth forms the future moon that is spinning inside the future Earth, right? And it's like, oh, that's such a great image. The future moon is spinning inside the future Earth. This is what grown-up scientists think. And then there's another strike from maybe an asteroid, and the moon emerges. There it is. And so she says the Earth and the moon are twins. They were one thing. You know, and then she goes into an explanation about why the moon, because of no atmosphere, you know, is not fertile in the same way that the Earth is. But she says they were one thing, they become two things. And I think that's why in our endogenous receptors, an eclipse is so moving, because it's mysteriously moving. When you're under a total eclipse at that moment, there's nothing like it. And it really is a kind of spiritual, physical, everything kind of orgasm, like, whoa. And even the most muggly of people, you know, go, oh my God, that's so beautiful. Wow. And I think it's part of what was one thing became two things, comes back to one thing. And I think that's part of the theme right now of we have the diaspora, you know, of everything starts off as one. And where I got this theme I've been working on is years and years ago, I was saying to my friend, an ancestor now, alas, Marcelino Santero from Cuba, you know, oh, the New Orleans Voodoo Tarot did this great job of syncretizing, you know, Ifa from Africa and the mystical Kapala, Judaism, and Voodoon from the Caribbean and New Orleans. And Marcelino said, oh, well, that's because they started off together as one thing in Africa. I'm like, oh, that's so cool. Right. So we think we're putting things together, syncretizing. Syncretism is a sacrament, you know, like the New Orleans Tarot Voodoo going, let's just syncretize all these things. But it's like, no, they wanted to come back together. They were one thing and became separate things. So let's think of this. Everything starts off as one thing. We're all in this dream together. It's the tale of a Morgan. You know, I have been the guest of 100 kings. I've been the glint of light on a wave. I've been a boar in it. I've been everything, right? So we start off that way. You know, all one thing. And then everything individuates, you know, different people's ethnicities. You know, a friend of mine says it's not really racism. It's improper language because race means, you know, you're the same race if you can biologically procreate, right? So he says, well, it's ethnicism, and that's too hard to say. So it could resolve a lot of things. Anyway, so everything diasporas into different, ethnicities, different cultures, different spiritual practices, different everything, way, 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 out there, out there, out there. It's the kind of outer Sagittarian Jupiter out there. And sometimes it gets a little orthodox or constrained, right? But then it begins, I've made up this word, the simspora, the come on back, come on back. And what we really want to see is everything coming on back in its liberating traditions. Who brought what to this Renaissance? The liberating traditions from everywhere, you know, and the rewedding of what's been falsely estranged, you know. And I think that that's, you know, part of the fun of this, or the deep sacramental fun of this eclipse, whether we see it or not. You know, again, fluid, flexible. You know, at the eclipse moment, you know, the sun and the moon and Chiron, you know, will quintile Vesta, Hestia. Yeah. Quintile is irresistible eloquence on behalf of what we love. And again, this time of experimentation, it just says, you know, all those who would like irresistible eloquence on behalf of what they love, you know, raise your hand. You may have it. And as my ally Sylvia Hanley says, the quintile 72-degree angle, division of the circle by five sacred to Venus. Venus forms the five-petaled orbital design over 8 years. Sylvia says, the quintile is what you say, and I want to get back to its democracy, but it's also the capacity to open portals between worlds. And it's like, cool, if it's not true, let's make it true. So what do we want? All mentoring, all earth wisdom, all indigenous wisdom about how to live in harmony. You know, what my almost guest, Sage Lanier, is working on, you know, a framework of the desirable, what would the desirable world look like? And many things. It's Bob Goff says climate change is inevitable. Adaptation is optional, he said with dark humor. And we go, okay. So where Vesta is where we are divested of orthodoxy, denied, delayed the usual expression of this realm, until the flame, that one has lit the flame dedicated to community well-being. Like, oh, right, this is such an important dynamic. And Vesta has a quirky angle to Pluto in Aquarius. Let's just bring everything up to our work table and, you know, believe nothing, entertain possibilities, and experiment, experiment, experiment. That's what we're going for. So there are so many opportunities being proffered to us. I like the image of backstage, all the critters are, all of our flora, fauna, fungi, funga, kin gathered backstage going, what are we going to do about the humans? We got to either kill them or heal them. Let's do both. Let's make everything that has ever moved humans to participatory goodness. Let's make everything that has ever invited the best of humans to participate, to humbly cooperate with nature's guiding patterns, available for fresh expression. And that's part of the eclipse in Aries, Aries, woof, woof, you know, to bring alive in a fresh expression, to translate things into accessible vernacular, you know, this festival, you know, and part of it might be, you know, our nearest exit may be behind us, you know, going way backwards, going to the source of things. I like always remembering what David Grimes had clued us into when he was in Israel, tracking the source of the Jordan River over barbed wire and such, you know. And the Jordan River begins in a cave sacred to Pan. And we go, right, well, that's where we got to go. That's where we got to go. And Pluto will be stationing at 2 degrees of Aquarius, whose image is a deserter from the military following their own wilderness path. And when Aaron Bushnell self-immolated on the steps of the Israeli embassy in Washington, D.C., born in 1999, Neptune was at 2 degrees of Aquarius then. You know, again, a deserter from the military following their own wilderness path. And we go, phew. So now, you know, and 1999 is kind of humming alive again, different generations, different people kind of reporting for duty. You know, and so as Pluto will be stationing at that degree, let us all waft this blessing into the world and honor his sacrifice, that, you know, let everyone be a deserter from the military and follow their own path back to the wilderness and the whole realm of rewilding. And we go, oh, that would be good, that would be good. And then the whole theme of democracy, equality, and community. When Pluto enters a place, it's not causative, it's descriptive and guiding. You know, astrology, really, regardless of what anybody thinks it is, you know, one of the earliest languages of human self-cultivation to be what it is to be a fully participatory human. I mean, that's, you know, with everybody else, what it is to have good manners, right? So another thing about the quintile, irresistible eloquence, is it's so democratically clean. So for all of us who are like, let's welcome this part of ourselves reporting in for duty. It's not persuading or conquering, convincing. It's the capacity to have a true perception and to be like a tuning fork in that it hums in others. So we don't have to persuade anybody. It's kind of tyrannical. It would be as though they said, oh, since I heard that on the radio, or since I read that thing, or since we had that conversation, since you guided my gaze, I see that now. So it's a long-lasting influence, right? And we're guiding all of us to our own autonomy. And, you know, that's, as we throw into the eclipse, what do we want to be eclipsed by what? We'll play more with this in our forever. May tyranny be eclipsed by democratic animism. May cruelty be eclipsed by kind kinship. We just want to prime the pump. We want to prime the pump. And after the break music, which will be Otiken's Storm, which is so powerful, I think given our improvisational nature, that we may take callers with a frame, may this fill in the blank be eclipsed by this fill in the blank. So after the break, you can call 510-848-4425 or 1-800-958-9008. That's 1-800-958-9008 or 510-848-4425. And in the spirit, the frame, you know, part of our dance, our convening, you know, maybe we'd be dedicated to true community and true community radio. Yeah, that's really good. So Pluto says, let's look at the shadow of everything. A cult is the toxic mimic of community. And a cult is really tyranny. And tyranny hates community. Throughout history, you know, wherever people are harmoniously getting along and getting along well with each other and the environment, tyranny is like, can't have that. You know, I must destroy it. Whether it's District 6 in Cape Town, South Africa, that people still talk about its destruction. You know, as but these things live in our hearts and souls. And the way District 6 was spoken of is that many different ethnicities were living together harmoniously. You know, this was even in apartheid. It was an anomalous, beautiful neighborhood, and people taking care of each other's children and cooking together and wonderful. And the apartheid government was like, can't have this. We need a parking lot. And they mowed it down. And all the people I ran into, cab drivers still talking about it, you know, decades before, said the bad, tyrannical people, they couldn't build on it because they were haunted by the sounds of children laughing and the smells of all the different cook fires. And they were haunted by the happiness and community that they had destroyed. So they couldn't use it. Okay, that's right. So, you know, and it's one of the things we play with. The oppressor, you know, is maybe, this is offered as a maybe, that the oppressor actually seeks the medicine of what he or she is oppressing. Not consciously, but it's like, but underneath, we want to go underneath. It's a time of necessary miracles. And we'll come back with Jupiter and Uranus and part of the, you know, invited to call in with, may this be eclipsed by this, but a liberating blessing. Jupiter and Uranus say big changes are brewing. We can feel it. It behooves us to animate what kind of big changes, right? Lest we leave it by default to the Dementors. But Jupiter-Uranus, you know, conjoining in Taurus at the degree of a white dove flying over troubled waters, and we go, right. But these are the two biggest path openers, you know, convening in Taurus, democratic animism now. You know, and it's like, what do we have now that we didn't have the last time these two beings were conjoined descriptively, which was 1939, 1940? And we go, whoa, okay, New Deal in America, fascism in Europe, also fascism in America. There we go. But also Dion Fortune's Mystery School participating as well. And what do we have now that we didn't have then? And it's like participatory animism, biomimicry, cooperate with everything. And I think it has an effect. I think doing diligent work on the ground, doing everything we know how to do, plus the backstage inviting in of the desirable and pledging our willingness to cooperate and to be cultural agents on behalf of what we love in nature. To another thing that we've forgotten, you know, but want to remember, again, things plucked from I carry with me always. When I first began living with Stella Coyote, actual Coyote, a journey of 19 years, hosted Lakota Elder on radio. And he said, nothing smarter than coyotes. And then he said, we Lakota did not hunt alone. Those gifted would go into a reverie, into a kind of backstage reverie, and they would broker and negotiate a working alliance across species borders. They would negotiate a working alliance with the wolves and coyotes, and we would all hunt together for a season with them. And if you want to destroy our culture and the earth, have people forget this? Have people mock this? You know, so we must remember this. And I just want to bring it up. You know, part of the theme of, of everything is, what have, of Neptune, Pisces, you know, what have we forgotten that we must remember? You know, participatory kinship, democratic animism, the capacity to cooperate and negotiate, you know, working alliances across species borders. So we'll come back to this after the break. It's the fantastic group Otiken and their song Storm. And you can't read the subtitles, but you can hear the energy. And it's like, storm, you know, there's danger, but there's help in community is what they're crying out. And again, if you have a worthy liberating blessing, that's the Jupiter-Uranus thing, liberating blessing, may this, fill in the blank, be eclipsed by this, then your call would be welcome after the break. 1-800-958-9008. or 510-848-4425. And here's Otiken. And feel free to move around with this thing. Here we go. Welcome back, allies, to the Visionary Activist Show. I'm your weaver of context, Caroline Casey. And that was Otiken, and their really great song, Storm. And I hope you're undulating around with that. So, because it is an improvisational time, yes, the wonderful guest who was scheduled, you know, bailed out, you know, a half hour before showtime. So here we are, all of us together. But it gave me an opportunity to announce, you know, again, putting together rapidly, that tomorrow, Diane Wilson, indefatigable enviro activist, so wonderful, so wonderful, and me, we will convene an Eclipse Texas Zoom Council tomorrow, Friday. It'll be 1 p.m. Texas time, 2 p.m. East Coast time, 11 a.m. West Coast time, what the hell, by donation. And it started off by, I had asked indefatigable advocate for all communities, fellow Libran Diane Wilson, is there anything that you would like eclipsed in Texas? And she is making a list. What would we like eclipsed in Texas? For starters, and then everywhere. And so I'm taking callers, right? And feel free to contribute a list. May this, fill in the blank, be eclipsed by this. So here we are. That's there. Okay, where we go. All right, so let's go to our first ally, Barry in Scottsdale.
Scott Valley,
okay.
Yes, it's just outside of Santa Cruz, yes. Long-time listener from the beginning. And before I give you my blessing, I just want to offer a word that you were looking for that replaces racism, and instead of that awkward word. I think the word you're looking for is ethnocentrism.
Okay.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Right. Yeah. Or ethnicism is fun too, but any centrism, speciesism, right? Let's eclipse all of these things, right? Yeah. Anyway, but yes, absolutely.
So my blessing, may a destructive technological future be replaced by an archaic revival where ancient wisdom weds new science.
Perfect. Yes, we say, Ashe, may your words incarnate into actuality. Yeah, that's absolutely really great. And do you have any other rabbits up your sleeve?
just Ostara and Estra, the goddesses of spring that were replaced by the Easter celebration.
Mm-hmm.
That's all.
Okay,
the hair was sacred to both Ostara, the goddess of the Teutonic goddess of the dawn, and Estra, the Anglo-Saxon goddess of the dawn.
Yes, that's great. Yes, and we bring up the hare and the rabbit, and that played such an important role in Terry Pratchett's wonderful last book. The hare leaps into the fire. And it's a kind of solution of the whole book. But apparently this is true. When there's a fire, a fierce brush fire, the hare leaps into the fire. It gathers all its strength, and it leaps into the fire, and it leaps over or whatever, and it lands on a relatively cool thing. And so it's a kind of guiding to us, too. It's like, leap into the fire, right? You can't outrun it. Leap into it. So, thank you very much. Thank you very much, Barry. Whom I think I know. wonderful. Thank you for your contribution. Let's go to Magnolia in Oakland.
Yes. May fear and lack be eclipsed by universal justice, love, and sharing.
Yes. Oh, say it again. It's really good.
May fear and lack be eclipsed by universal justice, love, and sharing.
Ah, indeed. Ashe, may your words incarnate into actuality. It's wonderful.
Oh, please, yes.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. That's great.
And thank let's you, go to Carolyn.
Woof, woof, woof. Reciprocal blessing all around. It's the way to go. May it go well for you. May it go well for you. May it go well for you to and fro. That's really super great. Thank you. And let's go to Vic in Richmond.
Hey. Hey. The sun's out. So I won't put this into a clever frame and just say the our local community center has been eclipsed by the people in charge. We have a place where people meet and share everything from dog food to beautiful old books and music and all kinds of things. And people from around the world, you know, mull around like birds and chatter and share deep ideas or irreverent little quirks, and with people that have all different points of view, you know, inhabit this space called the Exchange Zone at the Elf Street Recycle Center. Mainly, they've shut it down because of a parking issue and some other things, but they did it suddenly. And the suddenness of it is just a shock. And it's now destroyed the community of about 100 people. So may the nuances of careful planning and so forth have a heart. And may the chaotic goofiness of life, you know, I guess pay some heed to it, but mainly, we need to have some kind of harmony between these two forces, the forces of convenient planning and the forces of the miraculous force of people.
Well, right. May the excuses of parking, whatever, you know, be eclipsed by symbiotic mutualism and the excellent experiment of sharing. Yeah, because we do. We want to be able to and fro. I have so many things I want to give away that they're wonderful things, you know, and yeah. We do want exactly this. And I think it's part of our dynamic, which is let all tyrannical be an incentive to experiment to make something even more beautiful. So there you go. There you go, Vic. You know, it's like you go, I'm available and I'm wondering how to make this come back even more wonderfully larger and pluckier than before it got removed by bureaucratic parking excuses for tyranny. So carry on your splendid work. All right, let's go to Nancy in Oakland.
Glad for your program and for this invitation.
Oh, good.
Yes. All right. May the old Orion of weapons, alcohol, and conquest be eclipsed by a new Orion, spelled N-U, reflecting all humans on Earth, accepting being together.
Oh, and just say, I missed just possibly my own static in my ears. Can you just do it again, because it's wonderful, powerful.
I will.
The old Orion. Okay.
Yes, the old Orion, the one who holds the club up over his head,
yes.
and is at midnight on winter solstice, you know, mm-hmm. promoting the idea of conquest for the entire humans. Okay, so may the old Orion of weapons, alcohol, and conquest be eclipsed by a new, spelled N-U, a new Orion reflecting all humans on Earth, accepting being together.
Excellent. Excellent. Very good magic team, Barry and Magnolia and Vic and
Nancy.
Thank
you. Thank you. And thank you for all the inspiration.
Oh, you're completely welcome. Reciprocal blessing. Reciprocal blessing. That's super wonderful. And really, you know, on a simple level, it's like all we need to do, you know, is to wonder what our deepest dedication is, our Saturn, you know, and to define that, you know, and then with the thing, you know, our deepest dedication, you know, and our dedication to having a healing dream for self and for community, as, you know, Barry and Magnolia and Vic and Nancy and soon somebody else in a moment are doing, you know, so yes, I was distracted by the excitement of Christopher in Berkeley chiming in. Welcome, Christopher in Berkeley.
Well, hello, Caroline. I'm down here at what I call Sovereignty Crossroads, one of the few places people can still live outside. And I definitely feel like a exile from my own town. And even as happened to many people last 4 years, my own family. So I'm wishing for the eclipsing of what I'm going to dare call the tyranny of woke. And that will be... tell people that there is a book by a Columbia professor of semantics called Woke Racism. And, of course, he's black. Couldn't be otherwise. And I hope that we can, I think along with the Age of Aquarius, it maybe kicked in with Pluto for 19 years, that we can really appreciate real diversity, not fear-based. And that we need all the, indeed, ethnic cultures and what I would call the emotional intelligence, a book by a Harvard professor, that I see not only in the folks of color down here, who it's a very diverse scene where, you know, we don't say people matter, we can show it and what matters about them. You know, life is where... what matters, and it's where you find it. And I feel like I want to replace this fear that I feel has dumbed down a lot of people in guilt, and it's made me afraid. This is the home of the free speech movement, and I'm tempted to call it the capital of cancel culture now. So deep ironies for here and, you know, here, where, but if not here, Berkeley, to indeed now wake up with this eclipse to, you know, what we used to be. Instead of hating on the working class, 80 million people and their families have voted for Trump as if they're all racist, and I think they're more like black folks than most of the people finger-pointing.
You are going to have you turn this into a blessing. We're going to have you turn it into a blessing.
Yes, well, I say, as you've been talking, let's get back to our humanity and let it eclipse the latest of appropriate, you know, politically correct stance to safely say, and be willing to be ourselves. And as you and I know, Carolyn, you know, the real diversity is individuals. You know, that's one of the gifts of astrology. You know, we each have our own first breath. So
we welcome and brew your liberating blessing. Thank you, Christopher in Berkeley, and a shout out to all who live on the street. Wonderful, right. Wonderful ally, KPFA listener, now an ancestor, Captain Cod, a treasured friend who, like yourself, was living on the street and was super, super cultivated and super smart and super wonderful. So, yes. That's great. Well, let's go to Tito in San Francisco. Welcome, Tito.
Thank you for having me on.
You're welcome.
I would like to contribute a piece of poetry to the discussion.
All right.
It goes, Jerusalem, Bethlehem, Nablus, Balata camp. Check out the passport. I got the stamp to prove it. Exactly how did I improve it? It was news to me. This is the news I bring. A settlement means a settler's road. An army gets ready to load. Killing a kid is the ultimate oath. But what did Moses write us a note? Thou shalt not kill. A commandment you couldn't feel. Blood is blood wherever it spills. Your God is not God if he sent you to kill. Be you Muslim, Jew, Christian, you feel? Jerusalem, Bethlehem, Nablus, Balata camp. Check out the passport. I got the stamp. To prove it, exactly how did I improve it? It was news to me. This is the news I bring. A human being is a human being. Some of us have a lot of things. Some of us have barely a thing. What we do starts with what we think. If you're not welcome to somebody's home, why do you insist on creating a house where a home already exists? This is your God, huh? Hell, what did I miss?
Thank you. Woof.
You're welcome.
We embrace that. Yeah. We embrace that, Jerusalem, Nablus. You know, and what you're invoking and where we want to go for all of us, too, is necessary miracles. And exactly what you say, just Jupiter Uranus, part of all of us coming alive, says equal. Everybody deserves equal rights. And safe home to live in, you know, because as Sim Curran says, because that's just how it's got to be. And that includes, you know, humans and all of our flora, fauna, kin. But yeah, necessary miracles. And so you are guiding us and pointing us to necessary miracles. Thank you, Tito, in San Francisco.
Well, I want to say thank you to KPFA and all his supporters and all his listeners. Thank you so much.
You're welcome so much. Absolutely. You know, and with everybody here, with Barry, Magnolia, Vic, and Nancy, and Christopher, and Tito, you know, really, you know, these times where we are confounded by the horror of the world and humbled, brought to our knees, and as our ancestors have done, especially at a time of eclipse, you know, we if we don't know what to do, invite in what does. Humbled, come on in. You know, come on in the guiding wisdom that Tito and Christopher and Nancy and Vic and Magnolia and Barry and all of you are, you know, invoking, going, right. You know, metaphors are the incarnational garb whereby power enters the world, and so is blessing. You know, again, these cultures of blessing underneath all of the cruelty and horror and war and rummaging and the horrific, cruel carnage. You know, being imposed on our Palestinian kin, you know, underneath that, it's still a culture of blessing underneath. May it go well for you. You know, Deborah Felmuth and I, you know, we're doing blessing poker, morning of light for you. And may the divine sprinkle rose petals upon your path. And then you would come back and go, yes, you know, and morning of light to you. And may the divine sprinkle rose petals and the scent of lilacs upon your path so that you and all your children may prosper and sing and happy. Yeah, it goes on and on and on. You know, again, Americans have been so illiterate about blessings. And we want to, you know, invite, you know, the power of liberating blessing. And the things, you know, we've been brewing together. We know that, you know, tyranny runs on grievance. You know, and as Terry Pratchett says, the cunning man finds purchase in all whose hearts are full of grievance. Tyranny runs on polarity, and it runs on grievance. You know, and so, you know, and grievance is the toxic mimic, the suppressor of grief, because grief is deep, but it is love, and grievance is hatred. You know, and so, you know, may grievance be eclipsed by kinship. May grievance be eclipsed by the depth of true grief, which is kinship. Grief artfully expressed becomes a sacrament of kinship, and we go, right. So it's dangerous times for a magic participatory eclipse. And just to, you know, Diane Wilson and I are brewing this thing together tomorrow at 11 a.m. California time. If that fits in, we're just, it's a rapid response team. We're doing our Eclipse Texas Zoom Council because I was, you know, I'm going to Texas for the eclipse. It might be cloudy. Well, we are flexible, but we're also practicing weather magic. Oh, please, clouds disperse. But yeah, but I did say, well, it is going through Texas and sweeping up through, you know, through Uvalde and Waco and then, you know, into Ohio and on to Maine, you know, and we go, right. So I'd ask Diane, well, is there anything you want eclipsed in Texas? And she's got so many things. She's got making a list, right? So we are doing our Eclipse Texas Zoom Council tomorrow. It's by donation. You can find out more at coyotenetworknews.com. We're just brewing this thing together because it seems like effective fun. You know, again, for everybody, now, you know, you can still call in if you'd like, 1-800-958-9008 or 510-848-4425 if you have, may this be eclipsed by this. There we go. So, you know, again, there's so many things. May this fill in the blank be eclipsed by this. So we're going to be doing more of that tomorrow for fun, for serious fun. And you're welcome to do that now forever. You know, may this be eclipsed by this. But, you know, everything is real. Everything is symbolic. Everything is a metaphor in which to animate in the desirable way. You know, and again, it's that we're magnetizing the irresistible invitational story, you know, of partnering with nature's guiding genius, you know, a renaissance of reverent ingenuity, you know, may reverent ingenuity eclipse tyranny, right, and compost it. You know, we're insourcing our autonomy. Everyone, all of us, who does the daily, hourly practice of insourcing our Saturn, insourcing our authority, sucks the chi out of external tyranny. You know, what is it to be a good citizen? What is it to be a good Earth citizen? I'm super charmed. Another best friend I never met, David Graeber, I'm like, oh, he died so young, and I'm just discovering what many, many people have been studying him for years, and it's like, what a smart, wonderful, wonderful contributor, right? In his lucid thing, he says, anarchism, we want to think about all these things, anarchism is basically democracy without the government. And he said, since most people love democracy and, you know, don't love the government, you know. And he said, it's the vision that people could live in community, in mutual aid, in symbiotic mutualism, in reciprocal blessing, you know. And that might happen or that might not happen. We don't know. But if you prefer that it happen, then you're an anarchist. I love that. You know, and David Graeber said, you know, we're addicted to silly work. Useless work crowds out useful work. And it's useless work that's destroying the planet. It is not our pleasure that is destroying the world, but industry, right? So, you know, and speculative building and empty office buildings and many, many things that our almost guest, Sage Lanier, would have brought up. I still have all the notes from that almost show. We go, right, a worthy person, absolutely. You can find Sage Lanier on Instagram and TikTok. And we were going to talk about those things because TikTok, she said, has given more visibility, you know, to like the Congo mining crisis and the cruelty, you know, than anything. It's a valuable news source. Instagram and TikTok, primary news source out of Gaza, you know, really crucial. We don't want, you know, who is it? The horrible mansion person. Israel wants TikTok, you know, under control because it's too effective. All of those things. Oh, look, we have time for one more person. Tevega in Berkeley. Come in, Tevega in Berkeley.
Khadija?
Okay, it could be.
Well, you got me anyway. Is that okay?
It's perfect. Tvija, Tvija, yes.
So it's like a K sound, actually. But anyway, May lies the eclipsed by the truth.
Yes. That is always good. That is effective. May lies be eclipsed by the truth. Thank you. So so your name is with a K.
Khadija, yeah.
Khadija, Khadija. I'm glad I got it. Khadija. Khadija says this. May lies be eclipsed by the truth, the irresistible truth. Yeah, in all of us, right? And you know, liberty for all things, including words. Words, words, flee from the mouth of liars who would put you in servitude. No, flee out there. So that's in keeping with your liberating blessing. Thank you so much. Okay. All right, team. So again, you know, brewing together many things. Jupiter, Uranus, opportunities for innovation. Entertain the possibility that cooperators are standing by, that we are being, you know, our rogue species is being blessed with opportunity, but it does behoove us to animate it in the desirable way. The description, you know, everything in astrology and astromythology has a descriptive thing and a guiding thing. A lot of what passes for astrology is the disaster, which is when we pit our small wills against the larger pulse, and that's a disaster. No, that's right. So, so we will be picking up on many things, you know, the whole realm of anarcho and community and mutual aid, you know, and then the desirable function of the government, many, many things that we will keep going. So thank you to everyone who called in with worthy offerings of may this be eclipsed by this. Thank you very much. You know, and a shout out to all the cultivated people who have been, you know, without homes. I go back to Captain Cod, just ancestor, wonderful, cultivated, erudite person, waving to him and all of our ancestors. And if we just make the dedication for all of us, you know, dance us into place where we can do the most good, have the most fun, and cultivate and contribute our considerable gifts to the community in a manner of reciprocal blessing. It's like, that'll work. That's a good dark of moon into new moon kind of thing. So thanks for Rod Akil, Wonder Indefatigable Board Up. I'm Caroline Casey. Again, go to coyotenetworknews.com for more information on our Eclipse Texas Council with Diane Wilson tomorrow morning at 11 West Coast time. And many, many more things on Patreon, Visionary Activist Show, for backstage notes. All right, woof, woof, woof. Thank you, team.